Right now, it's 7 o'clock. Police in Apex investigating a double shooting. The new information we're learning ahead. And North Carolina State University mourning the loss of a beloved student. The tributes pouring in. Plus,
bitter cold air is on the way to North Carolina this week. It's only going to get colder. I'll let you know when our highs only are in the 30s coming up.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
We start with this breaking news here. Police investigating in Apex, the scene of a double shooting. Good evening. I'm Dan Haggerty. WRAL Sky 5 over that scene. As you can see there, the police blocking off the street in the neighborhood just off of Salem Street. WRAL's Aaron Thomas is live in Apex. Aaron, we're hearing a suspect is in custody.
That's correct, Dan. In fact, we're still waiting to learn the identity of that suspect as well as the two victims who were shot out here today. Just to catch our viewers up to speed, it was actually, we've been out here since 4 this afternoon. You can see that hours later, this scene remains active. You can look in the distance. There are still flashing lights from the police that are on scene. It was actually in this grassy area where some of the cones are, where neighbors say they found two bodies on the ground. Taking you to video now. Neighbor Tom McKay, he shared this with WRAL. It shows two police officers escorting a man away from the scene. Tonight, we're waiting to hear from investigators on how this man is connected, if at all, to what unfolded in this neighborhood. McKay tells me that he was startled by the sound of about 6 gunshots he heard inside of his home.
Then I went upstairs and I was looking out the window because, you know, the Apex police had shown up and, you know, we're supposed to stay in our homes and stuff. And that's when I saw them coming out with like ARs going around the back of the apartments over here, townhomes over here, and looking for, I guess, a suspect.
Now, Apex Mayor Jacques Gilbert released a statement to WRAL. He called this a sad day for this town and that he's actually praying for all involved. Of course, we're going to continue following this story into our late news. Also working to find out the current condition of those two women who were shot out here today and this afternoon. Back to you.
All right, Aaron, we'll check back in with you later live in Apex. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Aaron. The coldest winter weather we have seen this season is headed our way. The first of the recent wintry blast expected tomorrow night. Behind me, these are kind of the current temperatures across the country. Not looking too bad in Raleigh right now, but those are going to start to drop really soon. In fact, this morning, we actually spotted some snow falling in Roxborough. This is via the WRAL camera network. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. This week, we will see lows in the teens, Kat.
Yes, we will. For the first time this season. And it is not just the nights and the mornings that are going to be cold. It's even during the afternoons. We don't have any more highs in the 50s for the next 7 days. Throughout the remainder of the work week, high temperatures only reach the 40s in the triangle. And then look at the weekend. Saturday, the warmest we get all day, 36 degrees. And that comes with a northwest wind around 10 to 15 miles per hour. So a wind chill. Sunday, only getting up to 39 for the high. So an early heads up, it's only going to get colder. Tonight, the cooler air is starting to work its way in. Low to mid 30s from the Triangle North, low 40s for our southern counties. But tomorrow night into Wednesday morning, that's going to be the coldest so far this season. 17 in Roxborough and South Hill, our first teens of the season in the Triangle at just 19 in Raleigh, 18 in Durham, 23 in Fayetteville. This is really cold air that's coming our way. And with the wind, we are likely to see a bit of a wind chill when we see some of those lows in the teens. So we may have some single digit wind chills in store this week. I'll have a closer look at that and a more in-depth look at the weekend coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. In the 2022-23 school year, NC State confirmed 7 students died from suicide. Now friends are telling us here at WRAL that another student, Matthew Haynes, has died from an apparent suicide at his home off campus. The junior was also a member of a fraternity, which is holding a vigil for him tonight. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan talked to some of those friends about the loss.
Theta Chi fraternity says they'll be coming together tonight in just about an hour to honor the life of one of their members, Matthew Haynes, who friends tell us took his own life last week at his house off campus. blue lights surround this home on Dixie Trail, just blocks away from NC State's campus. On Thursday evening, Raleigh police found a person deceased inside and launched a death investigation. Friends WREL talked to say 21-year-old Matthew Haynes, an NC State junior, died by suicide inside the home. His longtime best friend, Jonathan Roberts, writes, "Matthew Haynes was a friend above all friends. His willingness to help anyone with anything at a moment's notice was unmatched. His admiration for the great outdoors was amazing, but above all else, Matthew's love for his family and friends will be forever cherished by all of us this side of heaven." We are also learning Haynes was a member of Theta Chi fraternity at NC State. They, too, are paying tribute to him on their Instagram page with these words. "Those who knew him know how kind, thoughtful, trustworthy, loving, and loyal he was. In times like these, we truly need our community to come together." Robert said Haynes' death was completely unexpected, and he said he just talked to him a day before his death, and he seemed perfectly fine. The two were planning a hunting trip together. Robert says Haynes was a standout basketball star at Haywood Christian Academy in Waynesville and loved the outdoors. He was planning on majoring in the agricultural field. NC State said they couldn't comment on this matter today as the university is closed. We tried to speak to members of the fraternity as well as the chapter president, but they had no comment. Chelsea Donovan, WREL News, Raleigh.
We are getting some new details about the man arrested for shooting at his ex-girlfriend outside of a nursing home in Wilson last night. The Nash County Sheriff's Office now tells us they've arrested Cameron Harrison after he fired those shots at Samantha Ludman. Harrison was found at a home in Nash County after stealing Ludman's car and setting it on fire. He's facing charges of attempted murder, larceny of a motor vehicle, and burning personal property. We spoke with people who live nearby who say it was a shock in that normally quiet neighborhood.
I just wondered what in the world's going on. So many police cars. I know I probably counted at least 12, and a rescue squad sitting in front of my house.
The Wilson Police Department is still investigating. Police say this is an isolated incident. So 100 days have passed now since the Hamas attacks on Israeli soil. In that time, tens of thousands of people have been killed in this conflict, mostly Palestinians. Though Gaza has been taking the brunt of the war, Israel has felt the effects as well. WREL's Chris Lovingood joining us now. And Chris, you spoke to someone from Kerry who flew to Israel to help out.
And Dan, that person is a former Capital Broadcasting Company general manager. Steve Hamill says he felt compelled to go overseas and a volunteer. He sent WREL pictures and videos of his time there, including from Soroka Medical Center in Beersheba, Israel. That's where hundreds of people needed help in the attack on October 7th. Hamill says he spent the day on a farm picking clementines to help out, and that's because, according to local news sources, thousands of workers from Thailand who normally pick the fruit evacuated after the attack, so they needed someone to help. As for his hospital tour, he shared something with me that stayed with him.
You heard about one pediatric doctor who on October 7th was treating patients, and the next day he was in the army and then killed.
Hamill and others volunteering through the Jewish National Fund have other volunteer goals this week. You can hear about what he's seen and plans to do at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock on WREL, Dan.
All right, see you tonight. Thanks, Chris. Tonight, the Durham community is remembering the life of a mother, friend, and a cherished real estate agent. Liliana Concha Perez was found dead last week in her office building alongside a man, her family said, her former boyfriend. Police are still investigating this case. Today, her family and friends gathered to remember her life. WREL's Willie Danley is live for us in Durham. And Willie, Perez's family is still wanting some answers in her death.
Yes, they are, Dan. I'm standing here at the El Centro building in Raleigh. This is where the family is holding this vigil tonight. You can actually still hear the mariachi band playing. I spoke to members of Liliana's family, and they tell me seeing how large this crowd is today is a testament to how loved she was. Take a look at this video of inside of this event, and you can see how large this crowd is with hundreds of people. Liliana was found dead last week at her office with the man who family identified as her boyfriend. People in attendance here tell me that Liliana was a pillar in the community, and she made an impact on everyone that she encountered. Now, while the family is grieving during this time, they're also working to get Liliana's mother a humanitarian visa so she can make the trip from Colombia to say goodbye to her daughter for one last time. The organizers of this vigil say the main thing that they want is closure and for people in this community to remember Liliana for the great things that she accomplished and not how she died. Tune in to WRAL tonight at 10 and 11 for more on this story. Back to you.
A sad situation there. Willie Danley, live for us in Raleigh. Willie, thank you. Durham public school employees are upset about an overpayment issue. They're a bit confused about a possible salary step, a change there that could cost others some money. The district confirming now that some employees were actually overpaid, but they haven't figured out exactly how to handle that yet. Some classified employees have reached out to WREL, say they are being pushed down the salary step schedule, making now less money. They say the district will no longer be honoring years of service at other places.
It scares me and it makes me really question if I want to stay with this district the way this is being handled. It's been really, really egregious.
In a statement, the Durham Public School Board chair says the board is working now on exactly how to proceed, including a full investigation into the error. The district statement says affected employees will be placed on a correct salary step of the salary schedule starting within the next paycheck. The chief financial officer for the district is currently suspended. Questions are being raised after a young girl abandoned a baby in a dumpster in Greenville. Ahead, we take a look at North Carolina's safe surrender law and the recent changes made to legislation. And people across the triangle continue to honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The local events held as a reminder of his work toward equality. We are learning that a baby is okay after it was abandoned in a trash dumpster in Greenville yesterday. And now child safety advocates are calling for more public education about the state's safe surrender law. Legislators made some changes to it recently. WRL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joining us now in the studio with some information here. What is allowed now under those changes? And Laura, of course, state lawmakers last year gave parents a little bit more time to surrender a child if they choose to do so.
They did. You know, since about 2001, North Carolina has had a 7-day window in which a parent can surrender a child to a safe adult without having to give their name or facing any kind of criminal charges, as long as the baby shows no signs of abuse or neglect. Well, that window is now 30 days, not 7. Child safety advocates think that could help to reduce the number of newborns who are abused or neglected or abandoned unsafely, like we just saw, by giving new parents a little more time to consider whether they're able and willing to care for a new baby.
So parents have more time now, but lawmakers, they did put some limits on who exactly a baby can be surrendered to.
They did. You know, the old law strongly recommended that a baby be surrendered to a healthcare worker, social worker, or emergency responder, but it didn't require that. Basically, you could legally surrender your baby to any adult. There were a lot of concerns about whether that loophole could be used for human trafficking. Now, the new law says the surrender has to be made to a healthcare provider, first responder, or social services worker, and they have to contact a local division of social services right away to get that baby placed safely into foster care. It also now requires a court hearing and a public notice that a baby was surrendered anonymously, just in case the other parent or family members want to try to get custody of that child.
I know this is a big question here, but if you could kind of narrow it down a bit, what does happen with a baby when it is surrendered?
Well, you know, the parent actually who surrendered it actually gets a 60-day window to reclaim the child if they change their mind. If the child isn't claimed by a parent or relative within 60 days, social services starts the process of termination of parental rights, and that child becomes put up for adoption.
Dan. All right. It's a tough topic, but Laura, we appreciate the reporting.
Thanks.
This morning, more than 1,000 people gathered at the Sheraton Imperial at RTP for the 44th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Triangle Interfaith Prayer Breakfast. WRAL's Gerald Owens was the MC. As always, this gathering featured members of the clergy from different faiths all coming together. This year's keynote speaker, the very Reverend Canon Sandy A. Wilson, interim dean of All Saints Cathedral in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
This movement requires that you bring a clear mind to join hands with others of clear mind who want to make of this old world a new world. Home is where your heart is. Love and charity begin at home. You know, if you don't have it, you can't give it. And this world is desperately in need of love compassion, truth, justice, and moral courage.
Reverend Wilson had a nice speech today, also saying, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and love what is good. She offered a call to action also and encouraged everyone to honor Dr. King's legacy by helping to create a beloved community. The Crown Expo Center in Fayetteville was packed as more than 1,000 people celebrated Dr. King there. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was there and says this year's message was about making sure the King legacy is passed on to the next generation.
So this is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. brunch here in Fayetteville, and as you can see, the place is packed. But this isn't about a meal, it's about a message.
For the past 31 years, Fayetteville and Cumberland County residents have gathered for the annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. prayer brunch. It's a celebration in song, with spirits lifted in prayer. The event is the precursor to the 15th annual Cumberland County Day of Service, where Dr. King's legacy is honored by giving back to the community.
You know, we are giving community, so there's people who are feeding the homeless and helping to work in capacities, you know, but we work year-round.
Reverend Pia Tolliver, associate minister at St. Thomas Ellis Creek AME Zion Church, says her keynote address is aimed at encouraging young people to be the best they can be through the eyes of God.
To encourage our young people, to encourage people everywhere to reach for the moon. The vision has already been set. We just need to go after it and do what God has put forth for us to do.
And that message is resonating in the hearts and minds of the young folks in attendance.
When I grow up, I want to be an engineer.
And what do you want to do?
I want to make machines.
Machines that do what?
Massage people.
Tell me about what you know about Dr. Martin Luther King.
He was fight for civil rights. March on Washington.
People were coming together from different causes to donate and to give their support to not only people who support Martin King's legend, but people who are just overall just trying to bring the community together.
So Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is January 15th, but the message here today was clear. His legacy should be celebrated every day. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
In addition to the King celebration, the third annual youth extravaganza offered educators a chance to encourage students to build strong characters and strong minds. A winter storm warning in effect for counties in the mountains. We got a view here earlier today. It's nice if you're skiing, but yeah, the snow is falling there in Sugar Mountain. Several inches expected today. Conditions, they impacted travelers moving through that area. The winter warning will remain in effect until tomorrow morning. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has been watching all of this as the cold weather starts making its way in.
Yes, I have been. I've been watching the ski cameras just kind of flipping back in the weather center today to keep an eye on them. Fun to watch. They saw some really beneficial snow. The mountains needed it after a late start to the ski season this year. But for us, it gets cold this week. It gets even colder this weekend. So I know it's only Monday, but we're going to go ahead and talk about the weekend because I want to give you an early heads up. 36 degrees is our high on Saturday. 39 on Sunday, and that comes with a breeze, a northwest wind around 15 miles per hour Saturday. Not quite as windy on Sunday, which is good because it's going to be even colder on Sunday morning. Saturday morning, lows in our area range between 17 and 22 with wind chills between 0 and 8. Sunday morning, it's colder, but not as windy. So the wind chills are similar, but the actual air temperature should fall between 13 and 18 degrees in central North Carolina. In Roxboro tonight, it is already chilly as the cooler air works its way into the northern part of our state. 34 degrees right now, a northeast wind that's fairly light. Good news there. We do have all of this energy to our north that is expected to stay to our north as the system continues to weaken. We'll see a little bit of upper level energy and then a coastal low. Both move closer to us tomorrow, so we're going to be kind of wedged in between two systems. The first one could bring a little bit of rain early in the day, and then we could see some rain into the early afternoon hours in the eastern part of our area, that coming from the coastal low. A big difference in temperatures across the state. The high in the mountains tomorrow, mid to upper 20s. Here in central North Carolina, 47 in Raleigh, 55 in Fayetteville. Moorhead City and Wilmington, though, still in the 60s. Not for long, though. Even the coast is going to be in the 40s for highs once we get to Wednesday. hour by hour tomorrow when we look at the rain chances. I don't think it's going to add up to much, but it may not hurt to have an umbrella for some light rain. There's a 30% chance later in the morning. Midday into the early afternoon, it's a 40% chance, and then we see the rain taper off after that. Tomorrow night is when the cold air arrives, so we get the moisture first and then the cold. And when the cold air chases behind the moisture, never a good recipe for much in the way of winter weather around here. It's just going to be cold tomorrow night. Mostly clear, 17 degrees in Roxborough and South Hill, as well as Roanoke Rapids, 18 for Siler City and Durham, 19 in Raleigh and Lewisburg, 22 for Wilson, as well as Goldsboro, 20 in Southern Pines, 22 in Smithfield. It is really going to be cold as we head into tomorrow night. Your 7-day forecast showing a couple of opportunities for rain. One comes tomorrow, one comes on Friday. If we were to see the timing shift early enough Friday, we could see a brief window toward the Virginia line of some sleet pellets or flakes mixing in, but we're not expecting anything measurable, and we're pretty confident in that. Just 41 for the high on Wednesday. It's going to be pretty chilly, but then even colder once we get to the weekend, Dan.
All right, time to bundle up. Kat, thank you. A Triangle native now holds the title as Miss America Teen. The history here, this Johnston County teen's making with a victory. A Johnston County teenager celebrated